to you, please put that in the offering plate when we dismiss. We're not going to take up an offering. We did start that back, but under the circumstance, I think we probably need to scale back on that. And so the offering place will be in the back. Jerry, would you make sure two of those get to the far table at the exit? So there'll be a, when you leave out of here, there'll be plates everywhere. You can just drop money as you go by. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ken, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Come out of sadness from wherever you be. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Great is our God.
Folks, be seated. We will go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful today to call upon your name. And Lord, we recognize your greatness. We probably, Father, do not express how much we recognize it the way we should. But Father, it's beyond amazing, your grace, your mercy, your patience, your understanding, your long-suffering, your comfort, your wisdom, your love. And we know the fullest expression of that was when your son Jesus hung on the cross for our sins. God, we're asking for mercy upon our country and across so many places in the world where there's just so much tragedy and so much turmoil and, Father, so much pain. And Lord, we recognize how gracious you've been in bringing us past the setbacks involved with the coronavirus, but we also know that we're not out of the woods yet. There are still things that are going to hinder us along the way, and obviously as a church it's going to take us a while, Father, to get worked through all of this, but we're thankful for the progress we've made. And I'm thankful, God, for those that are here. Father, we lift up those in our church family that are sick at the moment. We think of Glenna at probably in the last days of her life. We ask that you'd be merciful and comfort her. We pray for those in the Barrett family. We pray for Hudson also that have this virus. Father, we pray for those that will be having procedures done the first of the week, Monday and Tuesday, two of our church family. And Father, on and on I could go with the prayer request, but time won't allow. So I'm asking, Father, for right now that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us and teach us, that your Holy Spirit would empower me, Father, to bring a message that I truly believe that you gave me. And Father, that you have full intent for us to heed and apply to our lives. And I pray that you would give me great wisdom, clarity of speech, clarity of thought. And Lord, give your church family, Lord, whether they be watching at home or sitting here in this congregation, Lord, the attentiveness that is needed for this brief time we have together. And Father, we'll give thanks for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We are truly living in perilous times. Difficult, complicated, fearful times. And though we are saved and we have a mighty Father, a mighty God who will ultimately take us to heaven, still the fact is, as we wake up to a very confused, very chaotic world every day, and we have to sort through all the complex issues at hand, and beyond that, we have to learn to manage the feelings and the emotions that surface within each one of us as we see what's happening around us. And there are oftentimes we feel fear, we feel anger, we feel sadness, outrage, anxiety, we get disillusioned, and other emotions just surface within each one of us. Oftentimes those feelings will lead to actions, and they'll lead to behaviors and attitudes that are not healthy. If we don't learn to control our feelings and our emotions, then they will control us and oftentimes will get us in trouble. So I'm just going to tell you, friends, at times like this, it's not an easy task as a Christian to navigate our lives and to navigate our families and handle these issues appropriately. And it's near impossible to do so without the power of the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God in our lives. And so as a leader and as your pastor, I sought the Lord this week to guide me to the appropriate verses and the appropriate message that would help stabilize us emotionally or calm our spirit, that would, during a time of unrest, that would give us solid ground to stand upon, and then also give us some practical tools that we can carry with us each day and apply and put to work in our lives. And so so that we're not a part of the problem, but we're actually a part of the solution in our country. Jesus tells us to be light. He tells us that we are the light. And then he says that, let your light so shine, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he tells us, folks, Jesus is not making a suggestion there to Christians. He's making a command. He requires it of us that we be light, and that we make a difference in the world around us, and we glorify Him in our behavior and in our attitudes. And so with that being said, there are several verses that we find in our Bibles that are called what we often call one another statements. The statements that in Scripture that emphatically tell us how we are to treat, how we are to deal with one another. Just to, not to exhaust the list, but some of them are love one another, be kind one to another, forgive one another, submit to one another, and on the list goes. There are a number of them found in Scripture. But I just chose one this morning that I think is most appropriate and most helpful to us in these times, and it's found in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to read about it in verse 13. It says, let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Simply saying, we are not to judge one another. There's so much to this subject of judgment. There's so much to this command to not judge one another, but I just want to keep it very simple this morning and put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them, and so we can take these tools that I'm talking about and apply to our life. I just want to keep it simple. We find here in this verse two parties, ourselves and another person. You and another person, me and another individual, two parties. We could try to talk about groups. We could try to talk about movements. We could say they and we and those and us. But that's not what we're going to do this morning, because this verse simple is very simple. It's me and another person. It's you and another person that's in front of you. The verse says, let us not judge one another. That word judge, we find it in the scripture. We have this command found throughout the scripture to not judge one another. The word has many connotations to it, but there's one basic idea that comes with the word of judging someone. And it's this: to decide about or to make a determination about someone. In other words, the idea is to make up our minds about someone else. Now, is the Bible teaching us here in this verse that we can never form an opinion or never make a determination about another person? No, that's not at all what the Bible's teaching us. In fact, multiple places in the Scripture tell us that we are to withdraw, that we are to avoid or beware of certain people, people that cause harm, people that sow discord, people that do evil, people that run to mischief, people that stir up trouble or teach falsely in the church, people that gossip, people that blaspheme. The Bible does not want us to be exposed to people like that. It's not good for us. God is not throwing us to the wolves and saying that we have to accept every person with every kind of behavior. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. That would be to our detriment. It is in our best interest, spiritually and emotionally and even physically, to stay away from bad people. But when we do that, when we see that, we make that determination that that's a bad person. That's a person I need to stay clear of. That's a person that is not good for me. We're not judging that person. We're actually using judgment. Judgment is wise. There's a big difference between judging someone and using judgment. To exercise judgment, to decide or determine something about someone based on the evidence, knowing the facts that are before us and coming to a conclusion based on those facts, that's healthy. When we just act accordingly to the truth that we see to be about this situation or this individual, that's just wise. And that is permissive by God's word. In fact, it's healthy and recommended by God's word that we use judgment. But we got to have to be very careful, because we are human and we do make mistakes. There are times that we can misunderstand a situation. We can misunderstand circumstances or the evidence and make a hasty decision and make a determination or decide about a person and then figure out that we were wrong about it. And it takes an extremely mature and humble Christian to correct that when we recognize that we've been wrong about that person. But it behooves us. It's the only thing that's right for us to do when we have misjudged a person, made the wrong determination, we've misunderstood and done wrong. It's always right to correct that. But our downfall so often is our pride. We hate to admit we're wrong. We want to save face. We don't want to eat crow in any way. So really, sometimes by our own fault, we judge someone unjustly, and it because of our wrongdoing, that person suffers because of it. We alienate ourselves because from them, when in reality they did nothing wrong. So God certainly cannot bless that, and He can't get behind that. So exercising good judgment is not only okay, but it's wise. So what is our text telling us here? To not judge one another. What's it trying to get across to us? What is wrong? How can we wrongly make determinations about people? Wrongly decide about certain people? I want you to remember the idea is making a opinion, determination, or decision about an individual. How do we do that wrongly? Well, there are several answers to that question. When I say several, I'll be very brief with each one of them. But these are tools here, and this is not something I found in a book somewhere, which is nothing wrong with. But these are just thoughts that God led me to bring to you today. We're wrong when we make those determinations and we make those decisions about individuals prematurely. When we jump the gun, sometimes we can very hastily, very impulsively conclude within ourselves someone is bad based on any number of things. We simply don't give them a chance. We just judge them. We make up our mind and that's that. That's how we feel about that person. Well, folks, that's a horrible way to be. That speaks more about our character than it does about the person that we're judging. To hastily just come to a conclusion. Secondly, we're wrong when we judge a person or make that determination about them based on something that they cannot change. Something that they can do nothing about. Folks, I want you to look at me. I have a big nose. I have larger than average ears, and I can't do anything about it. Born with it, runs in my family, and they're as I age, they're growing. And they're beginning to produce long hairs. Now, I can pluck the hairs, but I can't do anything about my ears. And I can't do anything about my nose. So don't judge me. Don't form a determination. That's something I can't fix. People can't do anything about the color of their skin. They can't do anything about the last name they were born with. They can't change their nationality. They can't change their IQ. People cannot determine who raised them or what location, what side of town they were raised on. People can't change those things. People can't change who their parents are, who their siblings are, or perhaps who their grandparents are. So how can we possibly make a determination or decide about that person that somehow that there's something wrong with them or something bad about them based on those things? Again, that speaks more to our character than it does about that person's unknown character. We can't judge someone about something they can't do anything about. We're also wrong when we determine about someone when it's done on the basis of our preferences. Preferences. Depending on what our backgrounds are, our upbringing, or our current influences or circumstances, we develop preferences. Things that are not based upon principle, not based upon morals or biblical truth or based upon the laws of the land. They're just preferences. They've been developed in our life over time. Perhaps they've been driven into us when we were a kid by our parents or grandparents, or they could have been planted in our mind along the way by individuals or groups that we're exposed to, influences or whatever. And I'm not saying the preferences are wrong. In fact, as most of us have some really good preferences. Most of them would be right or positive, let's put it that way. But if we take those preferences to heart and they become law to us, they become the standard in our life and those that are around us, without them having any biblical basis, any moral basis, any legal basis, that can get us into trouble, friends. Because we begin to look at people through the lens of those preferences. We judge people because we have these things in us, and maybe perhaps they don't even know about those things, and we judge them if they don't line up with those preferences. Let me illustrate this to you. I was pretty much raised Not pretty much. I was raised in the country by an older generation, and primarily, just from the nature of where I was, primarily grew up around the cowboy world, the ranch cowboy world. And because of that, I spent much of my young life under the influence of a bunch of older cowboys who molded my thinking and ingrained in me certain habits and certain ideas and practices. They were just kind of built into me by those circumstances and those men. Many or most of those were good things. Work ethic and respect and responsibility and trustworthiness and dependability, things that are good, that have helped me in life, and there's a solid basis for them, and they can be expected, those things. But some of the things have caused me to hit a snag along in life because they are preferences. Things that were rooted more in the tradition of that world. Things that were rooted more in cultural practices than they were in anything else. One of those things, I'll give you an example, that's just a preference, is taking your hat off when you walk into a building. Now, folks, I was taught that when you walk through the threshold of the door, you better be going like this. You see, and that's not a bad thing, okay? That's not a bad thing. But you better take your hat off immediately. That was ingrained in me. And it's a sign of respect in our culture, especially to the older generations, the more mature generations. Many of you would agree with that. But it's not based on any kind of thing morally. It's not based upon biblical truth or values. It's not based upon the laws of the land. It's not illegal to leave your cap on. So it's not really a matter of right and wrong if a person takes their hat off or does not take their hat off, or does take it off when they come into a building. Just because it's ingrained in me or you doesn't mean if someone doesn't practice it that somehow they're wrong. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if that's a good example or not. Most of today's generation don't have a clue about that. They weren't raised in that culture. They were not raised in homes that taught them. They don't give it a second thought. So though I may teach these young people, and these young men have taken their hats off, I may teach them as we go along, as they come into the church, the respect of taking their hat off, that because that's something we prefer. But you know how wrong it would be of me to be angry at them? Or form an opinion about them, or make a determination that there's something wrong with them because they don't do it. That would just be so wrong of me to do that. That's judging. And beyond that not being right before God, and I'm really making a mistake before God by judging people that way, also is the damage that it does to you and I when we judge people based upon preferences. Because I'm going to tell you, if I hadn't learned, it used to run me nuts, folks, when I first came here as a pastor. If I hadn't learned over the last two decades to quit getting hung up on that junk, that stirs me up and keeps me worked up and causes me to be more wrong. You see what I'm saying? It damages me. And that's just one analogy. The hats off deal is just one. It could involve people's hairstyles, or whether their hair's long or short, or whether they have an earring or a piercing or whatever. It can involve how people dress. Yeah, I don't like skinny jeans. Can you see me in a pair of skinny jeans? No. But I don't know that it's wrong. I have a preference not for them, but I could care less if David wears them. You see, preferences. We are wrong when we judge people based upon our own preferences. We're also wrong when we judge people by lumping them in with groups and don't take them as an individual. Let me remind you that the verse says here, "Let us not judge one another." There are two individuals being spoke of in that verse. Me and another. You and another. individual, okay? We are not to make a determination or decide about a person because they are a part of a certain group. Now, unless, of course, that group is violent or criminal or something else, if that's the case, then we would just use good judgment by steering clear of them because they're involved with a violent criminal group. But to say, oh, that person is white, or to say, oh, that person is black, or that person is a Jew, or that person is a Mexican, or that person is a Baptist, or that person is a Methodist, or that person is a liberal, or a conservative, or a Democrat, or a Republican. To do that, to make that determination about that person based upon those things, is without question judging. It's judging. It's not taking them as an individual. It's taking them as a part of a group that they happen to be involved with. Folks, when we do that, we're being duped as Christians by Satan. Satan has taken our country and he has polarized and divided one nation under God so effectively that he's destroying us from within. And Christians should not and will be to our detriment if we do succumb to that and fall prey to that. We're salt and we're light. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to learn better than to be divided. I have preferences, sure, about a lot of issues. And I have strong opinions about a lot of issues. But I refuse to allow Satan to manipulate me and my family or our church by making us divided from everybody around us because we don't think just exactly like them. Now, there is a lot of wrong goes on around us, sure. But we become wrong when we begin to judge. And sometimes we take our judgmental behavior and we label it righteousness. Oh, we're just doing right. We're standing up for Jesus. We somehow, if we're not careful, we'll passionately hate in the name of Jesus. Boy, what an affront to him that must be. You see, we're being manipulated by the forces of darkness. I've fallen into that trap too many times. But I want to be man enough and I want to be spiritual enough and godly enough to see that for what it is and to make those corrections in my life and continue or not continue that behavior, but to move forward in a way that would glorify God. And what glorifies God is you and I not judging people based upon a particular group that they might be connected to. And folks, there's no doubt I'm of one political persuasion, yes. I don't make apology for that. I have reasons for voting the way I vote. But also, I have a dad that, and just for instance, he is of another political persuasion, totally contrary to mine. Sometimes we don't understand one another, my dad and I, why we think the way we think. But I know this, my dad is a dang good guy. And my dad wouldn't harm anybody. And my dad has really a good heart. And I think he would probably, I hope he would say the same thing about myself. And neither one of us are a part of a party that's perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And we both, I would like to think, are mature enough to love each other and to respect one another and to be there for one another. And I'll tell you what is way yonder more important than what candidate my dad votes for is this, whether I'm able to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ before he leaves this world. That's important. That's what really matters. And what a fool I would be to put a stumbling block, as our text says, before my dad by harming my testimony by judging him based upon a party What a tragic thing that would be for a son. So don't lump people into groups. And I'm going to speak very frank with you, and I hope this message is helpful to everyone, and I hope it's accepted. Look, I'm appalled. I am outraged by a man killing another man by holding his knee on his neck for over 8 minutes. That tears me up. That's just wrong. But that shouldn't change my opinion of the thousands upon thousands of men and women who have served us daily in law enforcement throughout our land year after year. That should not change that, and it doesn't with me. I say this, I'm also appalled and outraged at the looting and the violence and the destruction that we see taking place. But that should not change my opinion of the thousands of people who work very hard to take care of their families and contribute to our society, and they obey the laws and they pay their bills day in and day out. You see, I refuse to be a pawn in Satan's hand and become a judgmental person because of what I see taking place around me. I refuse to be manipulated by his devices, schemes to get God's people to get caught up in the world around them and become what we are not supposed to be. And that's a people of judging. I'm going to recap very quickly and leave you with this analogy, and then we'll be done. The recap is this. The Bible tells us not judge, to not determine, to not decide about people wrongly. On the other hand, we are instructed to use good judgment. If an individual is doing things that are a threat to us spiritually or physically or emotionally, we would be wise to recognize that and steer clear of that person. That's very permissive. But also, it is possible for us to be in error, to misunderstand things and make mistakes as humans, and judge somebody prematurely or wrongly, decide about them. And when we do, we need to be grown up and spiritual enough to correct that, okay? You got those 3 points. Here's the analogy. I've told you over the years, I'm sure I've told maybe this particular story, but I've told you that I worked in a gas station at Phillips 66 gas station in Claude, Texas in my early 20s. Very humbling experience for a guy like me. Not a thing in the world wrong with it, I know now, working in a gas station, but because of my cowboy pride and all that, it was very humbling. And I did that in my early 20s because I was out of a job and it was winter and I had 2 kids. So I did that and it was really good for me. First job in town, okay? One day I was sitting behind the cash register in that gas station. Bobby, you'll know the exact station I'm talking about. It's one of those old filling stations. You know how they were. They had the pumps out front. They had a little glassed-in area where the cash register was, and then they had a door coming in here and a door going out to the bays where you service did the oil change and things like that. I'm sitting behind the cash register of this deal, and I see this guy coming up the road, long-haired fella, kind of rough-looking. He's walking up the road and approaching the station, and he's what we would have called, here comes a hippie. Here comes a hippie. And I immediately thought in my mind, oh boy, what does he want? See? You see, I'm judging him. I'm making a decision about him. I'm determining what he is, and I'm doing it prematurely because I don't know anything. I'm doing it based on my own preferences. I've lumped him into a group of people from the past, perhaps like Charles Manson or Cheech and Chong or Willie Nelson. I've lumped him, you see. He's a hippie. He's a dope smoker. How do I know that? You see, I'm judging him. I don't know him. I don't know his background. I don't know his circumstances. I don't know his personality, his character. I don't know his heart. I'm judging him before he's ever entered into the station. I'm wrong for doing that, okay? I think you would agree with that. So he enters the door of the station, and I'm sitting back here, glass around me, and I'm behind the cash register. And he pulls out a big knife. This is a true story. Big knife, sharp knife, long knife, dangerous knife. So now it's time for judgment. Good judgment. I have to assess this situation. Evidence shows me that I could be in danger. The facts indicate to me that I could be in great harm. I need to get away from this person quickly. I need to perhaps jump through this glass window and take my chances with the shards of glass as opposed to the knife. You see? Judgment. Judgment. Wise judgment. So I'm thinking, and this is all happening in a flash. You see, I started out judging him wrongly. Now I'm using good judgment, but before I could take any action, he said these words, "Hey, buddy, would you be interested in buying a knife?" You see? He said, "I run out of gas down the road." See, everything's changed. You know what I said? "I'll give you $500 for it right now." I didn't say that. You see, we have the whole deal. I judged him wrongly. Then circumstances presented themselves where I was probably using pretty wise judgment in my mind to protect myself because I thought he was coming in to rob me. But then suddenly, it's evident that it was mistaken judgment. And so everything changed then. You see how easily these things can take place? You know what God wants you and I to do? He says in the scripture, he wants us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Don't judge people prematurely or based on something they can't change or based upon some group that we've lumped them in or because of the preferences that you and I have. That's wrong. On the other hand, bad people need to be steered clear of. That's just good judgment. Bad people need to be thrown in jail. Bad people need to face the legal system, these sort of things, okay? But we can't lump people. And I'm going to tell you, if we want to keep peace in our lives, in our families, teach our children right, and in our church and in our communities, we better, as Christians, learn to live by these statements in the Word of God of judge not one another. I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning, God spoke into your heart. Maybe you learned something this morning that perhaps you've never thought about. I hope you have. I hope it's helpful to you. But I believe with all my heart, friends, we as Christians are in probably, I know in my lifetime, perhaps the most perilous age that we've seen. Maybe not the most perilous age in history, we don't know. But at times that are very difficult and very chaotic and very confusing and very complicated. So it's up to you and I to seek God and His Holy Spirit and His Word to guide us and to help us navigate these waters. So I pray that you'll do so. Maybe at this altar, maybe where you're standing, but please seek the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. David's going to play.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son. Saints and angels.
Taking up an offering, we'll just let me give you these announcements and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. We're coming back tonight here at 6 o'clock. We have 5 graduates that we're going to honor tonight, high school graduates, that's Ty Kinch, Kes Cook, Maddie Guthrie, Israel Herrera, and also Bree Parker. And they're all, we're very proud of them. They've had a difficult spring, not able to have just traditional celebration of graduation. And so we want to roll out the red carpet for them tonight. We're going to meet in here and have a short service. Cooper's going to be speaking to us. We're going to watch some videos, see some pics of these kids growing up. And then we're going to dismiss to Summer Hall in the back, and we're going to have some refreshments, cake and ice cream, and these sort of things. If you would like to contribute, we would urge you to, if you'd like to contribute to these graduates monetarily, if you would make a notation on the envelope that is for the graduates and drop it in the offering plate. If there's a specific graduate that you want to contribute to or give a gift to, then please specify them by name. And we'll do our best to give them a love offering tonight that'll be an encouragement to them. So come back and be a part of that with us. We'll be back here on Wednesday night. We're going to stay. We're not going to let the little snags that we're running into, we're not going to let it alter at this point any of our ministries. We're going to continue on. We're just going to make some small adjustments in each one. And so we'll be back here Wednesday night. We will be running the buses for the kids, and we'll have our regular Bible study on Wednesday night. Also want to mention Kenley White. This is Rhonda's granddaughter. We've continually mentioned her. She's 13. She has cancer. She's dealing with chemo treatment. She has some infection that she's really very vulnerable. She's been admitted into the hospital there at UMC and is not able to really see a lot of people because of her situation. Keep her in your prayer. We want to get her past this very quickly. She's young and strong, but it's going to take its toll on her taking this treatment. So please pray for her, Kenley White. Okay? All right? Let's be dismissed.